The atmosphere here is just fabulous. Feels like home. We would not do a disservice if we just continued to worship the whole time. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and say this again. Y'all pray for me and help me stumble through this. I have no notes. What he was impressing on me, don't ever slip back into religion. I love doctrine. I'm a teacher. All day I could discuss. I love to get into the Word. But listen, doctrine did not save me. Jesus saved me. And without Him, I can do nothing. You know the man in Romans 7? I could open my Bible, but let's just, we're family. I grew up being taught that the man in Romans 7, and I'm looking, I believe all of you are familiar enough to know who that guy is. He loved God. He wanted to keep God's law. And he kept trying to keep it. And that's religion. That's Old Testament. But the way I was raised, they taught that as being a New Testament Christian who was just having trouble with his flesh, you know. And I can, let's do look at it. So I want you to underline one, if you can, if you don't have a glass Bible. One thing I do love about my paper Bible is that I can underline. And maybe you can highlight or something. For years I was taught that I grew up, that the denomination where I grew up in, they taught that the Romans 7 guy is a born-again person having trouble with his flesh. And if you buy into that, then that excuses a lot of sin. Be honest. He had trouble, I'm having trouble, it's just me having trouble. And Dave, from the beginning, and it's not just Dave, I've heard it from others too, but it's not just the denomination I grew up in. It's amazing the Spirit-filled preachers, I'm not going to name any, that I have heard say the same thing, that this is a born-again person having trouble with his flesh. But it's not a born-again person, and the Word itself proves to you it's not, and it's right in verse 7, Romans 7, 7. He says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. Now notice, for I had not known lust, except the law said. Now he's talking about the law of Moses here. I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now what did we read earlier in this conference about what happens to you when you get born again from Hebrews chapter 8? The instant you get born again, I will write my laws in your heart. I will write my laws in your mind. You will know me. The instant you get born again, that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus comes on the inside. And you know coveting is wrong. You know stealing is wrong. You know adultery is wrong. And if you don't know it, you're not born again. That's why I try and boil it down. I say, look, if you attend a service and the message that day is stealing is wrong, and if that is news to you, you're not saved. You're just not. Because when you get saved, He writes His law instantly. It's the very nature of Christ. So this man in Romans 7, he did love God. He wanted to keep the law. He tried to keep it, but he had no nature to keep it. Dave taught it right from the beginning, see. And this man I've made up my mind again. Human willpower. I made up my mind. I am not going to do that bad thing anymore. And that's the very thing I wind up doing. And that good thing, you know, Angie and I have been going to the gym now, you know, for regular, three times a week this is our fourth year. We scoff at the newbies. Every January, the parking lot fills up again with, you know, New Year's resolution. We go, see if you're here in 3 months, you know, much less 3 or 4 years later. You know, We're elders at the gym now, see.
But this fellow, he wanted to keep it. It's not that he didn't love God. Moses loved God. David loved God. All the Old Testament, you know, the saints, what we call Old Testament, but none of them had what's in Romans 8. And this fellow, you could, I'm not going to do that bad thing. I'm going to stop. He's going to use all of his willpower, all of his human energy. I will not do it again. Who ends up doing it? I'm going to do this good thing over here. Go to the gym. I'm going to work out. I'm going to, no more sugar. I'm going to do it. Pretty soon, oh man, I never did really get around to doing that. And you can see his agony here. Let's come down to verse 23 or verse 22, Genesis 1. No. Verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, I want to do it. But evil is present with me. Now, this is an unborn again person. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He wants to keep God's law. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity. Now, notice, to the law of sin. If you're brought into captivity, you're a slave. It's bringing me every time. I'm a slave. See? We're headed to Romans, or he just got through talking about Romans 6. You're no longer a slave to sin. See? And he bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, you've got to remember, the flesh, how did Bronk say that? You're still fighting against the flesh 30 minutes after you're in heaven. Just don't even trust it. Even after you're in heaven, 30 minutes, don't trust it. Okay, anyway, just trying to make a point. It's going to always be that way. Oh, wretched, look at verse 24. This is every person that's still in religion, even if they're going to a church and they think they're okay and they're not okay. Oh, wretched man that I am, who? Notice not what. Who? What's the main purpose of the law? It's our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. You finally come to the place, you'll say, Father, or God, I can't do this. I need a Savior. And it's Christ Himself who saves us. And it's the love of God in Christ that saves us. It's the and it grows. I mean, I've always loved Sue. I tell everyone, I started carrying that girl's books in the eighth grade. I'm still carrying them today. You know, I love her more. It's deeper. We have been through wars together. We have been through crisis together. We have been through tragedy together. We have been through blessing together. The love is deeper and wider than it was. And it's the same way with Jesus. It's not supposed to get less. It's supposed to get more. One of the things as I see these, I have to go with it. Smith Wigglesworth, one of the things, he was a big guy. I never met the man, of course, but he was a big barrel-chested Englishman, you know. I can just see him very proper. And this big Englishman, those that knew him well said every morning he would not only worship, he would dance before the Lord. Isn't that something? I tried to picture that. I've tried it as myself a few times. You want to see something really awkward? But I'm telling you, there's a secret there. The power to this life is not doctrine, although I love doctrine. Don't get me wrong, I have truth, see. But notice it says, O wretched man that I am. Not what shall deliver me. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's a who that saved you. Real faith works by love. It's His love for you when you receive it. But I'll tell you also, it is your love for Him. I try and live with this awareness. I cannot live a single day. I don't ever want to fall back into the Romans 7 guy trying to live this life
in my own strength because I can't. What do we read this morning? I see now how to watch. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. What a God we serve. Who could come up? I mean, Satan thought he had mankind in a box because Adam fell. His nature changed. Through the law of Genesis, that law of sin and death was passed to every human, every single, you know, Eve is called the mother of all living. So it doesn't matter today that we have brown, white, slanty eye, round eye, polka dot, striped, whatever, have all the different. But Eve is the mother of all living. So every human descended from them. And that sin nature passed down. And so Satan's going, there's no savior can come from that. Dave used to say it this way, you cannot get a savior from a spiritually dead gene pool. Isn't that right? Who would have thought God would provide a way for all of us born of the seed of Adam, for us to literally be born again into God's family? Only Jesus can do this. We don't ever want to forget. It's not a what that saved us. It's not doctrine really that saved us. I'm telling you, we have got to have that daily, personal, intimate fellowship with Jesus Himself. Christ in us is our only hope of glory. Christ in us is the only hope for St. Thomas. Christ in us is the only hope for revival in Canada or America or anywhere else. It's Christ in us. That's why the glory between Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8, see. He says, chapter 8, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And here it is. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, we read John 8:12 earlier. Jesus said it this way, foretelling what was coming. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Here he said it this way, but shall have the light of life. Paul, writing about it in Romans 8:2, it is that law of the Spirit of life should be a little less. He's talking about your new nature, what He birthed in you. It is literally Christ in you. As I went through the 1 John series, and I was finding where John, he was just still teaching everything that Jesus had taught, I found so much of what John was still teaching 50, 60 years later. It came out of John 14, 15, and 16. And those are the chapters where he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. And I always think back to my mother's dad, Grandpa Shoemaker's vineyard. He had not a big one, but he had a small, he loved grapes, Concord. If you never had those good black, almost purple Concord grapes, they just burst with flavor in your mouth. And I remember growing up as a little boy, maybe, I don't know how old I was, I'd go out there. To me, that big old gnarly vine, that ancient looking vine came up out of the ground, you know. And then he had stakes or fence posts about yay high driven in the ground every so often and wires, and he trained those vines to grow down that thing. And I remember as a little boy walking down there and looking, and my mind even then would go, I wonder if the grape at the far end tastes as good as the grape at the beginning. And I remember testing that out one day and went, they're the same. And now thinking back about that, it doesn't matter that it's 2,000 years when Gary got born again. The life that's in me is no different than the life that was in Paul. It's no different than the life actually that was in Jesus. It is the same light of life. And the potential, the potential, how high is that potential? But it's not going to happen if we don't walk with Him, talk with Him. He Himself is our life. Yes, sir. Now, you may have already heard me read this. I've done it once or twice at the prayer center. This is called developing character in the church. And it's a word that the Lord gave me, I get this, November 27th, 1994. This was in my truck driving days. I didn't know it the day this came. 7 days later is the day that if you've heard my testimony, 7 days later is the day that I had the heart condition, blacked out, fell out of the truck, never drove a truck again. So this is really the last thing that I have recorded that he said to me right before basically Sue and I were going full time. Okay. And I had lost track of it. I'd forgotten about it for years, and he just recently, the Lord is, you know, he's Jehovah's a kid in you. He's also Jehovah sneaky. He has a sneaky way of getting you where you need to be. In fact, he had me rediscover this just recently. So let me just read it to you. And you got, and when he mentioned this, he says that talking about all of the moral failings that have happened in the charismatic renewal. And most of us remember the Jim Baker things and the Jimmy Swaggart things. And they're just very public, but there's so many more that's still happening today. And, you know. So he said to me this, the reason the charismatic renewal has been so loose in its morals and weak in the fiber of its character is that it is imbalanced concerning the law of sin and death and the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The church has prevailed sufficiently to receive the revelation that man cannot save himself by his own efforts in the flesh. Well, thank God for that. It knows that it must switch its dependency from the arm of flesh to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. This is the door that allows them, both good and bad, into the sheepfold of the grace of God. On this leg, the church is very strong. But once in the sheepfold, however, the church does not know how to properly employ the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus to purge them from infirmities of the flesh. This is precisely where the church is lame. On the one hand, the church hesitates to revert back to the arm of flesh or willpower to overcome these things. On the other hand, it does not know, here it is, it does not know how to employ the power of the Spirit to accomplish the desired changes in its character and habits. The progress of the church has been greatly impeded by it being caught in the middle by the tension created by these two methods. That lack of progress has caused repeated failures by unpurged flesh and has allowed the enemy to bring great reproach upon the kingdom of God. The coming revival at the prayer center. By the way, let's just pause and worship right there. The coming revival at the prayer center in Tulsa, in Florida, in Ohio, and in Canada. The coming revival will not only be accompanied by signs and wonders to draw the masses to Jesus, but will be my fountainhead whereby the church at large will receive fresh revelation of how to employ the power of the Spirit to produce the character of Jesus in the church. That character will be Spirit-born and Spirit-molded, and the fruit of that character will be true holiness. So when I rediscovered this, I sent it to Tim and Bronk and others, and I wrote this little email. And said, hello all, the Holy Spirit helped me rediscover this word. He spoke to me way back in 1994. The date is very special to me. This was 7 days before I, quote, fell out of the truck with heart problems. This is the last word the Lord spoke to me while I was still driving the trucks. When I read it now, 1994, when I read it now, I think about all of those years when I continued to smoke cigarettes as a Christian, not knowing whether to employ my own willpower against it or to just keep praying and smoking with the thought that eventually the desire to smoke would just leave me. It's no fault to Dave. Dave always said, and that's Dave Roberson, of course, Dave always said we did not have to keep sinning as Christians. But I, like many in the body of Christ, was caught between these two opposing thoughts, willpower or spirit. How am I supposed to deal with my flesh? Dave laid the foundations, but it was Nathan Farvel, that really put the knife edge of truth when he taught Romans chapter 2 about the new nature causing us to become a law unto ourselves. His black and white, no gray teaching about taking dominion over sin through the new nature finally came through so crystal clear. We can all now walk in the light of it if we choose to do so. The confusion is gone. The gray is gone. The light of truth has come. It is not human willpower. Romans 7 guy proved that. It is the new man taking dominion over the flesh through the power of the new nature. It is God who wrote his laws in our minds and hearts. And all we have to do is yield to the thoughts that proceed from those laws. And you could say the mind of Christ. And we will be able to walk righteous and holy in this life. He also gave us the conscience, which is like the bumper rails on each side of the highway of holiness, so we don't get off track into sin. It is mortifying the flesh through the new nature, not human willpower, just like Dave laid the foundation in the beginning. But now it is so crystal clear to those who have heard the truth. The only way to not walk in it is pure disobedience. Now, I hope you all have heard those teachings by Nathan. And if I summed it up and did a visual that's not easily found at my website, but it's pretty easily found at our YouTube channel. And it is called The Mechanism of Righteousness. And you can just go to YouTube and type that phrase, The Mechanism of Righteousness. And I think mine is the only video with that title. But there I did a visual demonstration, and it's very effective. But if you see that the good news is you'll be able to walk free from sin. The bad news is you'll have no excuses not to. But that's where he's brought us. And the church has got to come back into the purity and the holiness of Jesus Christ. He did not come to tolerate our sin. He came to set us free from them. He came to set us free from them. And sadly, you can't do that if you really don't know the truth. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, now, he said the prayer center would become the fountainhead. I believe that has happened now. It's available to anybody. It's not, it's Nathan's out there. Dave has so many, sin shall have no dominion over you. It's not, but for me personally, I never got it till I heard Nathan again and again and again. I wanted to call, is Nathan preaching? But I needed to hear it till it finally penetrated. And my walk was already pretty doggone narrow. I mean, and it's narrowed more, and I believe it's going to narrow even more. You know? Now, why is that so important? Because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Without holiness. But I was praying about this service. I know Jim and others has been praying about this service. This kept coming. This was the only thing that I knew for sure to do. Because for revival here, Tulsa, anywhere, it's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit, or it's not going to happen. Well, that means we have to hear him. See, hearing him is one thing. Obeying him is a whole nother thing. And he acts like, I'm telling you right now, he thinks your life belongs to him. He does. And I don't really even get a vote if I'm a soldier. How many soldiers get to vote on the tactics? I see so clearly how he's been leading through the First John teachings and through the God at War and bringing my mindset around to this, to where it's got to be if we're going to really have revival. And the reason this holiness part is so important,
Dave told us years ago, he said, people are always getting in the line because they want to hear God. But if the truth be known, the place in them where God speaks, they have it nailed shut because they don't want to live holy. But God speaks through that same door where your spirit is telling you how to live. Your spirit meaning your reborn human spirit that has the law of God written in it, and it's saying, don't do that. I hear hammers and nails. I want to nail that door shut. It's trying to tell me what to do. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's trying to tell you how to live Christ. It's Christ in you, really. See, that right there is the first level of denying Him. Again, I know you've heard this. I don't care. So, yeah, I was so backslidden. It's worse than that. I think I was went all the way so far to become twice dead, plucked up by the roots. At age 33, it didn't matter. I was raised in church. I mean, I was a goner. I'm going to say this too. I heard this twice today. Don't be so quick to get people to say the sinner's prayer. Okay? It's not what they say that gets them saved. It's what's in their heart that gets them saved. And I remember I attended Michael's little Bible study, Michael Muccio. I attended his little Bible study for about 6 months. And he'd sow the seed, sow the seed, sow the seed. And little by little, the hunger came. I still remember the prayer, 4th of July, 1980, about 2 or 3 in the morning. I didn't exactly look at my clock, but I knew it was after midnight. And I didn't even really know. See, and the devil was just yammering in my ear. It's too late for you. You walked away from God. You knew Him as a little boy. You have backslid. He will not take you back. It's just on and on and on. But Michael had been, I've been listening for about 6 months. Michael, sow the word again. Sow the word again. Sow the word again. And I still remember the approach I made towards God. I said, God, you know that I knew you as a little boy, and I've walked away. Lord, I want to come back. I felt like the prodigal. Lord, I want to come back. Lord, I'm not sure if you'll take me back again. But Michael taught me what faith is. Faith believes your word, no matter how I feel. And I've quoted Romans 10, 9 and 10. Lord, I do believe that you're God's son. I believe that God raised you from the dead. From this point on, Lord, you're my Lord. Whatever you say, that's what I want to do. And Lord, if you'll take me back, if you'll take me back, I promise you'll never have to come looking for me again. And I didn't feel anything. I so wanted, like, how does Dave say that? I wanted to hear Gabriel's trumpet. I wanted liquid sunshine to pour down on me through the roof. I wanted to at least feel the brush of an angel's wing. I'm telling you, the emotions, I learned a great lesson that night, because the emotions, I felt nothing. But I heard something. It did not work. You're not saved. I told you it was too late for you. He won't take you back. So my first congregation was the devil himself. Because I started preaching back at him. And Michael had taught me. I took the word of God, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and I just started reading it back. It says right here, can you read, devil? I didn't really say devil. I wasn't even sure it was a devil. I knew there was something arguing against me. And so I just started reading that Romans 10, 9 and 10 over and over again. It says right here that if I believe in my heart that Jesus, God raised him from the dead, and I confess with my mouth that he is my Lord, I am saved. And other verses too, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and so forth. But that whole night, the rest of that day, I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel anything that night. Next day, I woke up, I still didn't feel anything. I'm telling you, it was a great lesson on learning to stand on the word of God no matter what you feel, no matter what you see. The next day, it's like the devil was sitting on the edge of my bed. When my eyes popped open, the first thing I heard was, it didn't work for you. You're not saved. You don't feel any different. In fact, he said, you've got a headache. And I did. Warfare all that day.
Same thing. But I had to just keep preaching it. I had to just, every little bit, I'd say it again, say it again. Power of confession. I didn't know anything about it, but I'd say it again, say it again. Thank God for the third day. I woke up that third day and even I knew I was safe. I'm not sure my feet were touching the ground. The sky was blue. I remember driving across the Arkansas River and I thought, this is the most beautiful river I've ever seen. Now you got to be saved to think. Anyone, it's basically a drainage ditch. I mean, you got to be saved. Look at those hills, the most beautiful hills, you know. Okay. Now, the point is this. It's not a what that saves Gary. Jesus took me back. Jesus came into me, quickened me to new life. And let me tell you, there was a new sheriff in town. That law of the Spirit, listen, when the Bible talks about Jesus standing at the door knocking and he says, invite me in. When you invite him in, he comes in. We don't need any little quick confessions because they're wanting to get rid of you. Okay? We need people to get born again where Christ comes on the inside. And they start having that preacher on the inside like I had the preacher on the inside. Because right away he's looking around and he's going, this pornography's got to go. This alcohol's got to go. Cussing and bad language has got to go. Dirty jokes has got to go. I mean, it wasn't very long he started dealing with me about forgiving people that I didn't want to forgive. There's a new sheriff in town. And I got a choice every time on every one of them. I argued with him on some of them. Y'all have heard my testimony. When he said, that pornography's got to go, I said, now wait a minute. I was very proud of my pornography. I've been collecting it for years, I even bought the little plastic covers to keep them in pristine condition so they wouldn't get yellow. I know y'all look at me now. I did not always look like this. I wasn't always this old. Okay. And I said, Lord, do you know how much money I've got invested in this one? It's got to go, got to go. I couldn't get any peace. That new nature was in me, preaching to me from the inside out. And that's real Christianity. And if you don't have that, you're not saved. Sorry. But it's a who. Who shall deliver me? Not what, who. So I try, so that's enough of that. Fast forward to today, some almost 40 years later. Every day I've got to remember. I don't ever want to fall back into a Romans 7 type of life. No, it's not really, I love doctrine, but it's not doctrine that saved me. It's Christ himself who saved me. It's Christ. If anybody gets blessed, Christ in me did it. I don't get any glory. If anybody gets healed, Christ in me did it. I don't get any glory. If the preaching helps somebody, Jesus himself, Christ in me did that. I can't live one day without him. I can't do anything without him. But the glory is we're not without him. And that's why Ephesians, which is much more mature book than 1 Corinthians, says put on the new man. It's not enough to have him on the inside. We've got to have him manifest on the outside. Well, that's just simply yielding your life to him, because trust me, he's more eager to manifest himself than we are for him to manifest himself. You understand what I'm saying? So when he says, this has got to go, or that's got to go, or I want you to work at a factory, or I want you to move to a little bitty town, and I want you to do this, I want you to do that, I want you to not get rid of the building, I want you to keep the building, I want you to whatever it is, that's the only plan of revival. That's the only path we'll ever have. And then his Holy Spirit, that he's anointed us with the Holy Ghost, trust me when I say I've been at this a while. The first level... Yes, I'm okay. Okay, I left that first point too quick. He said, now go back and sew it up. Sew it up. I'm going to come back to that door again. Well, I need to hear God. I want to know what his plan is for my life. Are you... I'm not looking at anybody, but the question is, are you obeying him in his instructions to you for holiness? Because if you're keeping the door slammed shut, and you know he's been dealing with you about it, keeping the door slammed shut is why you're not hearing the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost can speak to sinners. Did you know that? You know how I know that? Read the Old Testament. Nobody was born again there. Okay? He can. That is not his plan, though, for us. For us, he speaks through the gate, the same place in you where Christ speaks to you about holiness and righteousness. Nailing that door shut is the number one way to not hear from the Holy Ghost, because he speaks through that same place. Now, he can go around. I've heard him audibly just twice to me through my ear. Okay? But that's not the way he wants to do it. He wants to communicate with you. And I believe he wants to communicate a lot more than he has. Now, signs and wonders. They're either done by the power of the Holy Spirit or they're not done. Are we in agreement? Okay. The first level, you can go, and the reason I say this is Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2 again. The number one way the Holy Spirit functions is with the spoken word. So I hear him again on this trip for me to encourage you, begin correlating what you say with the Holy Ghost power. It's going to change what you're saying. But he anoints your words. Let's go back to the fig tree. I see the fig tree again. Jesus spoke words against that fig tree and walked off. Wasn't Jesus himself that caused the fig tree to die? He spoke the words, isn't that right? Who is the molecule changer? Who is it that worked with those words to cause it to come to pass? That's God the Holy Ghost. And that whole passage starts off with, have faith in God. I'm telling you where he wants us to start. Say something like this. I have faith that the Holy Spirit works with my words. I have faith that when I speak, the Holy Spirit, who is the anointing, co-labors with my words to bring the mind of Christ to accomplishment in this world. My words and the Holy Spirit work together. I am very careful with my words. Now, this is going to be a discipline for all of us, not only here, but everywhere, because that is the number one way you can see it all through. How did Jesus do it? Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He didn't go over and get her and straighten her up. He might could have. He just spoke the words. And she was made straight. Who did that? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And revival, the number one way, it's not the only way, but the number one way the Holy Spirit works is with the spoken word. See, we're supposed to take the sword of the Spirit, which I used to think was the written word. It can be. But most of the time, how you see Jesus going on the offensive to set the captives free that had been bound by the devil? No. It's when he speaks in line with the will of God. And when we go forth in the name of Jesus, just like Peter at the Gate Beautiful with that lame man. He says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand and lifted him up, you know. And it said the guy jumped up on bird legs. Can you imagine? This guy was born lame from his mother's womb. Can you imagine what them little shriveled up legs look like? And he's all of a sudden leaping and jumping and praising God on little bird legs. Unless the Holy Spirit filled him out. I don't know what happened there. We'll see. We will see. Because we're going to see that happen. Amen? But he's telling me it's going to start with a fresh understanding. Say it again. God the Holy Spirit works with my words to accomplish the mind of Christ. To bring the will of the Father come to pass in this world. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The other thing that I had, and I didn't know for sure if he wanted to do this, but I believe he does. It is essential. You notice how he tied in this week who you are in Christ? If we don't know that, if we let the devil talk you out of that, who the Bible says you really are, then we're going to have to go back and do it again. It's like, okay, no, you failed. Got to take that class over again. So
I believe it'll bless you, and I believe it's the mind of the Lord. I want to lead us in the 1 John confessions. If anything, you might call this a summary of 1 John. 21 lessons to the younger generation is a lot of lessons, okay? And Tim kept telling me, Gary, can you summarize this? And it finally dawned on me, though, those 5 chapters is a summary. It is already a summary. And I kept trying to summarize it, and it's hard to summarize a summary. You know? I said, Dear Lord, I'm not trying to drag this out. I'm trying to do the bare minimum. But it'd be easy. You could take any one of those and teach weeks on things, you know? No, but 1 John itself it's just anointed like the Dickens. I don't know how to put it in words, and it's changed my life. It's changed Kyle's life. It's changed so many people. And we're getting reports it's changing people around the world. But so this is the only way that I could come near to making any kind of a summary. I just took the truths in 1 John, and at least I got 21 lessons down to 2 pages. It's two printed pages, just about full. But this is who you are. And I'll tell you, when discouragement comes, listen, discouragement comes to everybody, okay? You get this back out, you start declaring this with your mouth, the Holy Spirit works with this too. And I mean, your shoulders square up a little bit, say, wait a minute, devil, you're a liar. I'm not moved by what you say. I'm moved by the Word of God, and this is what my Father says about me. So let's just say it together. Just say after me, say, God is light. I am a child of light. And I walk as a child of light. I no longer walk in darkness. I walk in the light as He is in the light. I have been made free from sin. I do not live a lifestyle of sin. If I do commit a sin, now notice a sin. If I do commit a sin, say it again. If I do commit a sin, I repent. I confess it, and the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all unrighteousness. I know that I know the Lord because I keep His commandments. I know that I love the Lord because I keep His commandments. I know I am in Christ because I keep His word. I walk as He walked. I love my brother as Christ has loved me. This is His commandment. My old life of sin has been forgiven for His name's sake. And I have overcome the wicked one. God is my Father, and I know Him now as Abba, my Father who loves me. I am strong by His grace, and I have overcome the wicked one. The Word of God abides in me. I love God, not the world. I love my Father's kingdom, not the things of the world. I am never moved by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. These things are not of my Father. I do the will of my Father, and I abide forever. I have an unction from the Holy One, who guides me into all truth. I never listen to those who preach anything different from what Jesus taught. The words of Christ abide in me, and I will never be moved away from the truth. The Spirit of truth lives in me. I am never seduced by false teachers. His words abide in me, and I continue to abide in Christ.
because I live by His Word, I am confident and I will not be ashamed to stand before Him on that day. I am born of God and I live by the righteous nature He gave me by His grace. Now I am a son of God. Someday I will have a new body like His glorious body. Because I have that hope in me, now I purify myself, even as He is pure. I am born of God, and by His grace, I deny ungodliness and worldly lust. I live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Those who live in habitual sin do not know Him. But I know Him, and I refuse sin. I am righteous by nature, and the fruit on my tree is holiness. I am born of God. His seed remains in me. And I am righteous at the core of my being. And I cannot live in habitual sin. I am not deceived by those who say they are Christians, but live in habitual sin. Jesus said we would know them by the fruit their lives produce. If their fruit is habitual sin, they are not Christians, no matter what they say. I love them. I urge them to repent of sin and to believe the gospel. The world hates me the way Cain hated Abel. I am in the world, but I am not of the world. I love in deed and in truth, not in word only. I show my love by what I do, not just by what I say. I live by what I believe, so my heart does not condemn me. When my heart does not condemn me, I have confidence before God. And whatever I ask of my Father, I receive from Him because I keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. I keep His commandments and He lives in me. And I live in Him. I know Jesus Christ came in the flesh to show me how a son of God is to live. Jesus is the author and finisher of my faith. He is the prototype. He is the author and finisher of my faith. He is the mark I am to press toward. He set the bar, and I have no right to lower it. I only have the right to press toward it. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. God is love. I am born of God, and I love the brethren as He has loved me. I know and believe I know and believe the love that God has to me. His love is coming to perfect maturity in me. And I say, as He is, so am I in this world. Therefore, I have boldness in the day of judgment. I am secure in His love for me. I am free of all fear and torment. He loves me, and I know He loves me. I am secure in His love for me. I am so secure in His love for me, I can freely love others with that same love. I know that I love God. Because I keep His commandments. His commandments are not grievous. I love God and I love His children. I am a believer that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He has saved me out of the world. And I have overcome the world by my faith in Christ. God has given me eternal life. This life is in His Son. I have the Son. And I have eternal life. I have full confidence that when I pray, He hears me. And I know when He hears me pray according to His will, I have the answer every time. When I see a brother commit a sin, I pray for him, and God gives life for him. I am born of God. I do not live in habitual sin. Holiness is my lifestyle. I am born of God. I keep myself, and the wicked one touches me not. I mortify my flesh. The wicked one finds no handles in me to attach himself to. I know the true God. He is my Father. I know the Father and Jesus Christ whom He sent. This is eternal life. I serve the Lord my God, and Him only will I serve. I will never bow down to the devil, the world, or my flesh. And I keep myself from idols. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a summary. What a summary. If we walk in the fullness of that, the voice of the Holy Spirit is very easy. The voice of His, because you got the door wide open. That door, that channel is not blocked. You haven't been nailing any two befores over that door. And I'm telling you, the voice of the Holy Spirit becomes easier and easier to hear. Now, I know that we're coming into revival. God hasn't had us praying and meditating. And the journey from His point of view, even my point of view now, it looks like the transformation has been very slow. Okay, I want to share this with you. I wrote another letter here recently that I didn't bring with me. But the essence of it was this. I thank God for the understanding I have now. It is so different than my understanding that I had 25 years ago. I've been attending the prayer center about 25 years. But you know what's really sad? It took 25 years to understand the book of 1 John. I've got another series in the works. I know it's coming. It's in the oven. You know what? It's in the meditating oven right now. But I already know it's going to be titled something like Apostled by John. Because I guarantee you, if I'd have been an apostle by John, that old grizzled apostle, you know, if I'd have got born again, he says, I'll take this one under my wing. It wouldn't take no 25 years. I'd have found out real quick, you're free from sin, boy. Slap that cigarette out of my mouth. You understand what I'm saying? In love, it all would have been love. But listen, Jesus is 100% serious, I know now, about us walking free from sin. He did not die on that cross for us to play with sin. I'm going to talk about me. For me to play with sin for 25 years. That wasn't quite that long. Okay? But I thank God that this truth is... Yes, sir. Man, He's always nice to you guys, a little bit mean to me. I recently ordered another little book. See, what's sad is the devil's really good at burying these truths. Most of you know who John G. Lake was. He's gone on to be with the Lord quite a few years ago. He lived into the early 1900s. And John G. Lake is just amazing. I mean, this guy started so many churches in Africa. It's just, they're still going on today. Then he comes back to America. He starts these healing rooms in Spokane, Washington. They had 100,000 documented healings in 5 years.
one hospital, the hospital that was closest to the healing rooms, literally shut down for lack of business. Then he was accused of, well, there's something special about the Spokane area. They talk about these ley lines and some kind of stuff. Stuff is a good word. So he goes to Portland, Oregon, with all new people, and does exactly the same thing, 100,000 healings in 5 years. Now, this is a man I want to listen to. I like hearing from the ones that make it work. Right near the end of his life, a man named Wilbur Wright married John G. Lake's daughter. And Wilbur Wright was already a very strong, spirit-filled Christian man, but John G. Lake wanted Wilbur to develop a Bible study course to be taught to new believers. And recently, so he prepared a book. It's very informal. It looks like my notes. But it's teaching, not very long. I just recently got my hands on it. It's been never been in circulation before. And I'm reading it and I'm thinking, when did Wilbur hear my First John series? It's not like this truth has never been known, but it keeps getting buried. It keeps getting buried again by religion, but truth is truth. And we've been like archaeologists in a way, digging down through 2,000 years of religious rubble and exposing those original foundation stones of truth laid down by Christ and the first apostles. Bless God, it's not going to get buried again. Because this time, God has got a group of people that are going to go beyond doctrine. They're going to go beyond churchianity. Is that okay? Churchianity. They're going to go beyond three songs and a hymn and a 20-minute sermon and a quick offering and you're out of here. No. We're going to give our lives to Him. He is going to live His life through us, which is more important. And this world is going to see the Jesus who saves, the Jesus who heals, and the Jesus who baptizes in the Holy Ghost. And He does all of that for one reason, to bring glory to the Father. Amen? Our lives are about this. I thank God these truths. When I read it, I read this little book and I'm going, these truths have been known. They were known around the turn of the 1900s, early 1900s. These truths were found again and then buried and lost. Not this time. Not this time. Amen? And last thing, we're almost here. In my prayer time, I keep seeing these little mini flashes, and I almost wish I could be here with you. I will be with you in spirit. It is so important for this church that you guys get together corporately to pray, corporately to worship. And it's individually, you are lighthouses, but corporately, you are a lighthouse. And I'm just telling you, I don't have any more details than that, but I just keep seeing it, how important it is. And I know you have jobs and I know you have other things, but God will give you wisdom that it's important corporately to pray, corporately to spend some time in worship. Amen. And if Jim will send me the schedule, I'm going to do my best. When I know when the times are, I'm going to do my best to be praying with you. Even though my spirit will be, how did Paul say that? I'll be with you in spirit and doing my best, but this is going to happen. Fear not, little flock. Listen, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And that kingdom will be manifest right here in St. Thomas. Amen. Glory to God.